Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Peer Geek Podcast, episode number 35. And as always, thank you for taking the time out of your day to tune in and explore the varying things that are happening in the phys ed and technology space. Now, I'm really excited to share with you an interview with a phys ed rock star, in my eyes, here in country Victoria, Australia. And he's someone that I've actually met face-to-face a couple of times, and we converse quite a lot through Twitter and email and so forth. And it's Paul McLaughlin. Welcome.
Thanks, Jared. Thanks for having me on.
No, you're more than welcome. And for those of you that don't know, Paul teaches whereabouts?
I teach at Marian College in Ararat. So that's about 2 hours northwest of Melbourne, and it's a Catholic secondary school of about 600 students.
Okay, and where did this sort of journey for you start? I mean, you know, we've all got our sort of background as, you know, being trained as a phys ed teacher or something along those lines, but there's never usually that sort of connection between technology, and I'm always intrigued of how people sort of get into that sort of area.
All right, so I started as a PE and science teacher, science being my second method, but mainly PE, and I've taught a bit of maths and RE. So the tech kind of side of things that I've tried to use, I guess, has come along as a slow process, just watching what other people are doing, like following like your own PE Geek blog in the early days, and then getting on Twitter and seeing what other teachers were doing, and just sort of pinching some ideas here and there to try out myself. So I guess Twitter's been one of the main ways where I've got a lot of ideas for using tech in PE.
Definitely. I mean, there's the whole social networking thing is enormous. And I mean, if you're sitting here and listening and you're not active in any of the social networks, there's a lot to be said for going and finding out how you can get active. And you can get active in a number of different ways. I mean, you don't have to be a regular tweeter to get value. Would you agree?
Yeah, well, I tweet pretty rarely myself. I guess I'm still in that lurking phase where I just watch what other people are saying and try and put something out there myself every now and then, but it's more treating it as like a newspaper, really, just reading what other people are doing and taking ideas where I see them.
Mm. I mean, that's really powerful. It's sort of that professional development where you need and you know, just in time learning sort of thing that Twitter does. And I mean, I certainly value how much the phys ed community has sort of rallied behind this sort of method of learning, and the sort of ideas that are coming from it are quite enormous. So there's a number of different ways that people can get started. And I mean, I'd set up a Twitter journey you might like, and you can head along there to the 14-day twitterchallenge.com, and it gives you a sort of 14-day introduction to Twitter, and that's just one of the platforms that people are using. There's obviously quite a variety of other spaces and apps and all sorts of things that people are diving into in the PE community. But what about you? What sort of things do you find interesting at the moment or are having some success with in your schools?
Well, we're using Google Apps at our school for the last couple of years, so we're trying to make best use of that as we can. That's going pretty well. Started using Google Classroom a little bit, just in the basic ways.
I think that's actually a really good point about Google Classroom, though. I mean, we're using it at the moment with, you know, the more basic level, and at its very heart, it's really simplistic, isn't it? Like, I mean, we've spoken before about using tools that are a little bit more advanced and a little bit more feature rich, but we're having enormous buy-in with Google Classroom with our teachers because of the simplicity of it and the fact that it integrates with Google Apps and so on. So are you saying that you're using the Google Classroom in PE context, like practical, or is it more theoretical type stuff, or what's the sort of angle?
More so from the health classes and other, you know, maths and so on as well, just for basics like delivering instructions and a web link or a link to a document or whatever. I mean, Classroom offers a pretty easy way to do that, and then occasionally we might use the assignment feature, which kind of makes all that sharing settings with giving a Google Doc to kids a lot easier without having to go to the next level of using Doctopus.
So that works
well,
and it's sort of something that everyone can achieve too, which is I think the reason behind why we're getting such a big buy-in from our staff at our school. You know, you mentioned some of those Google add-ons. What other sort of Google add-ons and so forth have you sort of played around with over the last few years? You said Doctopus. Is there any sort of others?
Well, Flubaroo's been a good one for like the occasion where you want to just give a quick sort of multi-choice test. to have Flubaroo to auto grade the little test and then automatically send out the marks to the students, so they get instant feedback with what they did right or wrong. That's a bit of a ripper, Flubaroo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. No, it's really powerful stuff, and it just doesn't seem like it's ever going to stop in terms of the development that people are putting into these Google tools. That is sort of the tip of the iceberg in many ways, and I know from, you know, developing stuff in that Google space at the moment that it's just an enormous library of things that we can do, and it's only going to continue. So outside of the Google Apps environment and so on, are there any sort of mobile apps or any other sort of web-based apps that you're using with students that you find that are worth sharing?
One that kids have been loving this year is using Kahoot, which I hadn't come across until.
Right, do you want to explain what that is?
It's where you can set up a basic multi-choice quiz. Mm-hmm. Then you have it displayed up on the projector on the front screen, and the students just go to Kahoot.it. So they don't have to sign in or anything. They just go to this website, type in a PIN code, and they're in the quiz.
Yep.
And as the question appears on the board, they press the right answer on their iPad screen. Mm-hmm. And after every question, there's a leaderboard pops up on the screen just showing the top five in the class, and there's a bit of a competitive element. So it sort of just jazzes up a basic revision quiz and sounds pretty boring. Oh, it's a multi-choice quiz, but you do it with a class and they just love it.
It just creates like a gamified sort of experience, doesn't it? I mean, you've got a leaderboard, you've got all those sort of qualities that make things engaging. And yeah, definitely impressed with how people would be using that. Have you seen what people are doing with Plickers?
No, I haven't seen much about Plickers myself, but...
Plickers is sort of running around the social media at the moment and all through sort of the circles where people maybe don't have access to one-to-one devices or devices for every student. And it's really quite impressive what they've done with the app. And you can go and download it by going to thepeergeek.com/Plickers. That's spelt with a P. And anyway, what it does is it enables you to do sort of live polling, you know, like multiple choice quizzes. However, people don't use devices to respond. They simply hold up a card, and that card is unique to them. And depending on the way in which they hold the card, whether it's, you know, held up in one certain direction, is basically the answer that they give. So the teacher stands at the front with their device, and they literally scan the room just by sort of using the camera and the viewfinder. And it grades all of the students without them needing to use a device. So, really quite powerful for those people that don't have enough devices for everyone. But it sounds like you guys are rolling out an iPad program. Is that right?
Yeah, we've got iPads one-to-one now throughout the school. So still in the early days, a couple of years in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what sort of year levels is that affecting?
7 to 12.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so it's all the way through. And do they have access to another device, or is it just the iPad?
It's just the iPad at junior levels, but we're finding more and more that the senior students seem to prefer, a lot of them seem to prefer using a full laptop. So, we're kind of in the process of reviewing how that's going, and probably some changes in that space coming up, I'd say.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've gone down the line of doing the whole providing people, is it 2-to-1 ratio? So we've got, you know, our year sevens that have access to an iPad and a laptop, and they're free to sort of choose whatever the appropriate tool is for the situation. But everywhere else in the school, it's BYOD. So people bring in, you know, some bring in a mobile device, some bring in a laptop. That laptop is expected, but they're sort of supplementing it with some of these mobile devices. And I mean,
I guess that's where Google Apps is such a positive when you're using multiple devices. If the kids are choosing their own, well, it doesn't matter what device they're on, it's all web-based.
Yeah, that's part of the reason why we went down the Google Apps line, because we saw the whole bring your own device trend emerging, and it was sort of apparent that we needed something that was a level playing field for everyone and accessible on whatever device they had. And it's really, really propelled that whole program forward and reduced cost for the school in a whole host of areas. You know, there's lots of innovation coming out of people that are using Google Classrooms and Google Apps based environments. So yeah, we're really happy with sort of where it's progressed. Now, as we sort of dive past the various tools and apps that you've used, are there any sort of mistakes that you've made along the way? Like things that you look back at now and think, you know, I can't believe I've I did that, because I mean, my career and my use of tech is riddled with things like that. I look back at some of my early blog posts and think, wow, was that something that I actually thought was going to really, you know, improve learning and make things easier for me? Do you have anything like that that comes to mind?
Oh yeah, there's plenty of those. How much time have we got? Yeah, I mean, you know, that's part of teaching, I guess. You know, things always aren't going to go to plan, and we have to, you know, cop that and move on. But you know, there's always Wi-Fi connection issues, or you know, the kids' iPads aren't charged or whatever. And or what happened recently? We had an information evening where we had the projector set up in our school gym,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, it worked perfectly when we tested it at 11 a.m. in the morning, and then. When we're presenting in front of the parents, funnily enough, the sun moved down to the west over the west windows, and yeah, started washing out all the slides on the screen of the projector. So, yeah, sometimes it's the most basic things that can get overlooked.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I think you make a really good point there about it's sort of what we expected to do, and you know, we shouldn't be afraid to try new things because things might go wrong. I mean, that's literally what students are doing every day and sort of what we expect. And I think it's great that we sort of expect the same thing and we have that same view about that. What about as we go forward? Is there anything that, you know, you sort of have ideas for, and it would be nice if you had access to those particular pieces of equipment, or, you know, any plans for infrastructure in a certain area, or you know, a particular app that you want to try out?
The Bluetooth heart rate monitors look pretty cool that I've seen around, where you can have the whole class wearing a monitor that connects to the teacher's iPad. So I think I've saw that on your blog, an example of that. So I'd be pretty keen to check out if we can get a class set of those.
Yeah, the Polar H7 heart rate monitors are amazing. And there's sort of like a growing group of people that are using them as either part of the Polar Team app, which enables you to do you know, up to 40 people tracked per, you know, to one iPad. And that's mind blowing for sort of teaching senior physical education, or people are just using them and connecting them to a single device. I mean, when we get to our training program sort of stuff with year 12 PE, they are loaning them out, you know, individual students, and sort of taking them and using them with their own devices. And just the fact that there's no watch means that they're a little bit more affordable than, you know, some of the heart rate monitors that we'd sort of purchased previously. So they're amazing technology, definitely. I mean, do you have heart rate monitors at your school?
Yeah, we've got a fair few of those. Like, well, we did a beep test with the year 12 class this week, and had them all set up with a heart rate monitor. And we had a student on the side, like, entering their heart rates into a Google Doc every level, which we had then displayed up on AirPlay onto the TV in the gym.
Yeah.
Which, so they could see the graph going up. But yeah, that went reasonably well, but TV is probably too small in the gym. We probably need to get a bigger screen to make it more viable.
Yeah, so I mean, do you find yourself that you use some sort of large display in PE settings, practical settings, junior classes often?
In the gym, like as I said, we've got a big sort of LCD screen, but it's probably not big enough for many uses other than, you know, a scoreboard and that type of thing. So mm-hmm. We're looking at getting a short throw projector in a little cage installed, just to make a lot of those other uses a bit more functional. Well, yeah. this week we had the music department were throwing out some old broken music stand. So we nabbed one of those to put our PE iPad on to have the video delay, that band video band delay.
Yep.
Yeah, we had it pointed at the iPad at the high jump
mm-hmm.
Mat today. So the kids who run in, do their jump on a 10-second delay, they just walk around the screen, watch themselves, and then, you know, off they go again. So that,
yeah. Yeah, that, I mean, it's powerful, isn't it?
Yeah, it'd be better on the big screen though, of course.
Yeah, I mean, that's literally probably one of the first things I ever did on the big screen that we got at our gym. And if anyone's interested in seeing that, you can head to bigscreenpe.com, where you can see a video of the screen solution that we have. But yeah, I mean, there's some powerful stuff that can be achieved when you've got that ability to sort of showcase something instantly to the class. And just the other day, I was teaching a volleyball unit with year sevens, and you know, we had band video delay set for 8 seconds, and we're watching rallies of the volleyball match and sort of being able to stop play and direct their attention to the screen to be able to, you know, reinforce the concepts that we're looking at was sort of, yeah, really powerful stuff. So Yeah, video is amazing. I mean, what other sort of video-based stuff have you sort of played around with?
We've had to play around with UberSense or UberSense, yeah. Which this week we're having to throw a javelin. So, like, to have the Year 8 kids come back to class the next day, and we have them comparing two students side by side to show their techniques and talk about the key points that we were trying to put into our throws was, yeah, pretty cool. I mean, it'd be nice to have the students doing that themselves rather than just a one-off demo in the class the next day. But I guess that's probably the next stage of where we might like to use it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and UberSense for me has recently become my go-to choice when it comes to video analysis apps. And for a long time, I mean, I still really like a lot of the video analysis apps that are out there. Obviously, Coach's Eye, big fan of it. But UberSense, there's a lot to be said about an app that is completely free, that enables a full set of tools and features to analyze footage, and more importantly, allows you to get footage out into your own sort of cloud-based devices without you being sort of forced to go down their sort of platform. And yeah, just really pleased to see that they've gone down a very different line to what Coach's Eye seemingly has. And hopefully the future of those sort of platforms is that they become even more student friendly. Do you feel that they're still really, you know, they're not really focused on a school perspective? They're sort of focused still on that athlete or coach model.
Yeah, I guess you're probably right there. Although free is always good, you know, we're always happy when it's it's free. It's a good price.
Yeah, definitely. And what about the one thing that I'm really excited about at the moment as I look over and see it is sort of wearables and the wearable space that that we occupy at the moment, you know, with Fitbits and Jawbones and the upcoming Apple Watch and so on. I should say the released Apple Watch, because we are recording this in March, but it's a pretty exciting time for wearable devices. Can you see any plans for maybe something like that in the future?
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool to have students in class using the GPS devices and so on. I mean, I use them myself outside of school with GPS watch when running, and the Fitbit, got the Fitbit, what is it, the Charge HR, It's good fun to keep track of that. But and it'd be great for the Year 12, particularly the areas with that activity analysis, and to be able to use more of the serious GPS devices like what you see in the AFL. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. So as we wrap up there, and you know, I really want to thank you again for coming onto the podcast. Is there any other sort of things that, you know, one app or something that we haven't spoken about that maybe you can share with us before you disappear? Put you on the spot for that one.
Yeah.
There's always, you know, there's so many apps, and you never know. One thing that you suggest here could be someone's next go-to app.
Yeah. Maybe not an app, but something I've been using more and more is my Bluetooth speaker in school. We've got a Logitech UE Boom speaker that pumps out really, really loud sound for a small speaker. So like to use it for, well, you know, things like the beep test or warm up music, or even in our CPEP units where we've had typically students allocated as a captain or a coach or a scorer, we've added now a DJ to that list of roles. So
that's so cool.
They can use the PE speaker to pump out.
So what was that? What was the model again?
It's a Logitech UE Boom. It's close to $200, but it's a really good sound, good quality.
Yeah, and just portable as well. So even if you're outside, obviously, you looks can take like it with you.
Yeah, it looks like a Coke can. And it's loud enough to use out on the school oval from the boundary line and
and be able to sort of hear it and use it. Because, I mean, we've got this nice integrated sound system in our gym, and I know a lot of people, sort of get in touch with me and say, what do you recommend for loud music? And that sounds like a really good choice. The fact that it's Bluetooth and it's portable, it's certainly right up the PE alley.
Yep. For something that size, that's the best one I could find when I was looking around for one. Yeah.
And if you head along to the PEgeek.com/Logitech, it'll redirect you to the particular store and everything where you can possibly grab one for your school. So I want to thank you again, Paul, for coming onto the podcast and sharing what you've been doing related to tech and PE. I really appreciate it. And if you have, you know, any spaces where people can get in touch with you, where would be the best spot to do that?
On Twitter, it's @PaulMcLaughlin.
Yep.
Yeah, that's probably the easiest place.
Awesome. Notes and information from today's episode will be available via the website at thepeergeek.com/35 for episode 35. Again, thank you, Paul, for your time, and until next time, see you later.
Thanks, Jared. See ya.